Good evening, good evening. You have tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. What is a paradigm shifter? It's somebody who helps shift the collective, helps shift our way of thinking, feeling, and being on the planet. Because I believe these times of change are really kind of the prelude for human consciousness to pick up speed and awaken, not only individually, but collectively. So our guest today, this is a rerun of a wonderful, wonderful interview with Bashar. Bashar is a hybrid human Esasani, a future human Esasani hybrid mixture. And he comes through somebody from his past life, Daryl Anka. And he tells us a lot about what it's like to be out there, to be an ET out there. And what is the rapport between the ETs and human beings and life on the planet at this time? I'll let you listen to what he has to say about the whole thing. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, enjoy Bashar. Tune in next week. We're going to be talking with Liz Mitten about One with the Herd, her time in the consciousness of the horse herd. And the week after that is Amrita, who's doing sound healing with us. She healed herself with breast cancer by studying and employing sound as a tool. So we're going back to Bashar. Enjoy it, everybody. Much love to you.
Anka, and Daryl's going to bring through Bashar, who's a hybrid human, a human and Esasani being from the future, who's going to talk with us today about what it's like to be involved with humanity today. But before we do, let's talk to Daryl and find out, Daryl, when did all this start? How long have you been channeling, and how did it happen?
I've been channeling for the past 24 years, but the events that led to the channeling actually started about 34 years ago.
Oh, really?
I had two very close broad daylight UFO sightings over Los Angeles.
Wonderful.
First time about 150 feet away, the second time about 70 feet away, with witnesses both times. And after having seen this UFO, which was a dark equilateral triangular shaped ship, I wanted to learn more about such things, because now that I had seen it, I wanted to know if there was any information that could help me understand what I had seen. So I began researching, reading all the books I could find on UFOs, and one thing sort of led to another. I just sort of went down the bookshelf and all the different metaphysical subjects, eventually came across books on channeling. There weren't too many at the time, but eventually I was introduced to a channel who was bringing through this entity, and I went and listened to him for about 6 months and felt that the information coming through was valuable and helpful to people. And then the entity offered to actually teach a channeling class, and I went into the class not so much thinking I would become a channel. I just wanted to see how something like that could be taught as part of my research. But during the class, which was several weeks long, we were given different kinds of mental exercises, meditations, and so forth. And during one particular meditation, suddenly I received what I experienced as an actual telepathic communication from Bashar and his people. And in that instant, an actual memory came back of having made an agreement to do this.
Wonderful.
Before this life. And the question from Bashar at that point was, now you remember we made this agreement. Is this something you still want to do? And I thought about it for a while because I wanted to make sure I wasn't just hallucinating. And I realized that ultimately it didn't really matter if it was coming from an extraterrestrial consciousness or whether it was part of my own. I couldn't prove it to anybody anyway. But the important thing I realized was that the information coming through when in that state has the ability to access more knowledge, more information than we usually do on a day-to-day basis, and it was capable of helping people. And for that reason, I decided to go ahead and continue practicing the channeling. And eventually I was offered an opportunity to begin channeling in someone's home to some of her friends, and then word of mouth spread. And the next week there were more friends, and then more friends, and then more friends. We began having to do it 2-3 times a week. We started getting enough people, we had to start renting halls. And then eventually people just started hearing the tapes and inviting me to go around the world and channel. And so to date, for the last 24 years, I've probably been in, you know, anywhere from 30 to 40 cities around the world channeling.
And this is something you did not train to do. Like, what is your profession normally?
I'm in the film business. I'm
oh,
a
great.
Special effects designer, and I've done that for 30 years.
Hmm. Are you still working with that as well?
Some, although I'm shifting careers now to writing, producing, and directing. So I want to take a lot of the ideas that have come through in the channeling and put them into scripts and get that kind of information, spiritual information, out now through making films. So it's kind of a blending of the two ideas.
Sounds like it could be a pretty interesting film, just seeing how you, the experience you had with the UFOs and
I do have one script that does exist that tells the story of how I became the channel and what that's all about. I don't know that that's the first film we'll get off the ground, but it is on the slate down the road, so we will eventually get to that.
Wow, I'm very excited to be talking to Bashar as well, and thanks so much for doing all that wonderful work.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you. Do you want me to bring him through?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, well, enjoy. Say good day to you, this day of your time. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm very pleased to be here with you. How are you, Bashar?
Perfect, thank you. We are always pleased to be speaking with each and every one of you. When you allow us to do this kind of communication, this kind of transmission, it affords us an opportunity to create with you a bridge and a link between our respective worlds that can one day allow us to interact more freely, more closely. So we thank you for the opportunity of this co-creation. You may proceed however you wish. What would you like to discuss with us this day?
Well, first of all, I'd love to know what it is to be a hybrid. What is it to be part human, part Esasani, and also to be from the future and coming into the now? What is that like? Do you have perspective?
Yes. First of all, from our perspective, you must understand that the idea of us being in your future is just a label. It is just a convenient way of allowing humans to understand that we operate in a different dimension, a different frequency of reality than you do. From our perspective, all realities coexist simultaneously, and what you call the past and the future are really just a linear space-time perspective of alternate realities that actually exist at the same time as your present.
Sometimes that's so hard to understand. I understand it intellectually, but to really get it.
Yes, that is all right. It will take time, but you will get used to it. Many of your own scientists, your physicists, understand this now, and it will be knowledge that the next generation of your world will understand in its heart and will begin to be able to utilize in their day-to-day lives, in their relationship with reality. Nevertheless, because we, at this stage in our evolution, already understand that all things coexist simultaneously, then our lives are made up of synchronous events without much planning. We allow things to unfold as they unfold, and thus trust, as you would say, that what is unfolding is exactly what needs to unfold. And we allow ourselves to deal with whatever does happen in our reality in a positive and constructive way so as to extract positive and constructive effects from whatever opportunity or situation presents itself to us. So we operate in a state of joy. We operate in a state of spontaneity. We operate in a present state. We stay in the vibration that we prefer to be. We act on our excitement every moment. We simply know that this is the basis of how reality can be experienced, and this is also the basis of why we are communicating with your world at this time, to share with you this perspective, not that you have to believe it, but that you can explore it and see for yourselves that being in the state of your natural self, living in the present, as you say in your language, following your excitement and acting on it every moment that you can, is really representative of your natural state, and to do so will allow you to experience lives of joy and bliss.
Will it allow us? Thank you for that. That was so wonderful.
All right.
Will it allow us, if we stay in that, do we then shift into more of an awareness of concurrent reality?
Yes, of course. Because you see, your natural state is connected to all dimensions at once. So the more you are living in the present, the more you are living in the now, since there is only one now, and the so-called different times are actually the same now from different perspectives, the more you live in the now, the more access you will consciously have to all the different perspectives simultaneously. So you can access anything you wish by remaining in a state of present being. Because all things exist in the now.
It's funny because I have all these questions and I'm going, they might sound a bit linear. I'll
carry
on.
Right. We understand that that is the nature of the reality experience you are having, and we will certainly be willing to accommodate that factor in our communication with you.
So I'll ask you this. Have you been a human being before,
yes,
kind of in our third dimensional reality?
Yes. Specifically, the channel before you is one of my past lives.
Oh, my.
That is why this works so well. There would actually be very little chance that we would be capable of relating to your society had I not actually had an experience in your society.
Now, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes. Now, of course, to me, that experience is going on right now.
Hmm.
But I will use the term had and past life to acknowledge your linear perspective. Nevertheless, yes, we are aspects of the same soul, and you would consider me the channel's future self, and I consider him, from your linear point of view, my past life, one of them on Earth.
Or you could also consider concurrent existences, I suppose.
Well, that is what we naturally do.
Mm.
I am simply making allowances for the linearity of your reality by using the terms past life.
Hmm, wonderful. Now, tell me this, that it seems that we're meeting with more and more, as we put it in quotes, ETs, aliens, beings who are from the universe, but not necessarily third dimension, where I trust we're meeting more and more, we're seeing more and more UFOs. Is that,
yes,
just a bleed through in the now of
many
different...
It is many different things.
All right.
Some of what you call UFOs, these kinds of craft, belong to different civilizations. Some of them actually belong to your own civilization in the future.
Hmm.
They have the capability of, again, knowing that everything coexists all at once, cross-tunneling into your vibrational reality, what you would call the past.
Is that as much to do with how we're holding reality as opposed to what they're doing regarding tunneling? You said tunneling. I'm just saying, is it...
Again,
how
I'm using
thinking?
Your terminology.
Yes.
The idea is that they simply shift their frequency. And by shifting their frequency to one that is representative of the reality in which you exist, then they will appear in your reality to you.
Hmm.
It's a matter of frequency shifting. Everything exists all at once, but the reason that you experience different things is because there are created within the one differences in frequency that represent the differences you experience as different beings, different realities, different dimensions. So on and so forth. So when one group, such as ourselves, are, shall we say, inhabiting a particular dimension That dimension has a specific frequency signature, just as yours does.
Mm-hmm.
If we wish to visit your reality, we must shift our frequency to your signature vibration. When we do, we are capable then of appearing in your reality.
So when you are channeling through Daryl, you're aligning many of your deeper frequencies at this time.
Yes, the process is like two tuning forks.
Yes.
If you have tuning forks that are aligned, in that sense, keyed to each other, when you start one vibrating, the other one will also vibrate with a harmonic, sympathetic vibration, as you say.
Yes.
So the idea is that the channel allows the frequency of his brainwaves to shift and alter to be something closer to the frequency of our domain, and from our end, we do the same thing. So somewhere, shall we say, in the middle, we meet. Our frequencies match. They lock. And what you get is a model, a representation of my thought patterns made out of the channel's consciousness.
Hmm.
It's like molding clay.
Hmm.
I am not actually in the channel's body or anything like that. The idea is simply that when the channel comes closer to my frequency and I come closer to his, then we lockstep our frequencies, lockstep our realities. And because then there is mirroring going on, you will get my thought patterns translated into whatever language the channel understands. Because I'm not really speaking any language at all.
Hmm.
I am simply imagining thoughts, and they are being translated into the channel's consciousness and out into his language, because his brainwave frequencies are locked with mine in that sense, and he is acting as a translation device, a biological receiver and translator, as you would say.
Mm. Does it feel very confining to you?
No, not at all.
Do you have feelings?
Yes, of course. We understand that we impose certain limitations upon ourselves to be able to do this, to communicate with you within this way.
Yes.
But those limitations, being self-imposed for various constructive purposes, are not experienced by us as limiting or confining.
Okay.
We understand they are part and parcel of the job.
Wonderful.
And also, it is, in a sense, out of respect.
Hmm.
Because there are many things we might access in terms of information blocks that may not be appropriate to share with you at this time. And thus then we impose filters upon our consciousness so as to prevent us from bringing through information that would interfere with your own process of unfoldment.
Wow. All right, I'm going to jump into some rather linear things
that
a lot of us have learned in metaphysics. One is that we're kind of going through a period that is possibly a huge evolutionary jump or shift.
Yes.
And that we're surrounded by beings from all over the universe cheering.
Well, not all over.
Okay. Well, I'll let you continue with that, because what we hear is that there are these beings in the universe that are paying attention to
many,
what it
many
is.
Many are. Many are. But not all of them. You understand? Right. The universe is infinite.
So we have different channels.
There are many beings that are paying attention to what is going on Earth, because a great amount of shifting is going on, and that shift is of great interest to many beings.
So this is a shift of vibration? Can you
shift of consciousness, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a shift of vibrational frequency,
mm-hmm.
which is a profound experience. And thus then, other beings are very interested in experiencing, or at least observing, how you're going about that. Because it is a great learning process, not only for you, but for others.
It's the reality of being a human being coming to the big change time and being able to create at this point? I mean, is that what we're here for? Is
fundamentally,
that,
yes. The idea is that your so-called new age of awareness is simply the idea that you are remembering more of who you are. You're coming out of darkness and coming into light through the darkness, and that kind of transformation is very profound, has a very profound effect on many different levels of reality.
Is 2012 linked into this process?
That is a representation of the crossing of a threshold when the critical mass on your planet, in your consciousness, will have crossed the line between the idea of more negative to more positive. It doesn't mean that everything, as you say in your language, will be peaches and cream the very next day.
Oh, darn.
The idea is that you will have tipped the scales so that there will be more positive energy overall on your planet than negative. Now, we understand that it still may appear as if there are many, many negative things happening on your world, but that's all right. Because the idea is that you're getting all of that up out of your system, onto the table, out into the light, so you can decide what kind of reality you wish to have. you wish to create. And the idea, remember, is that you don't need as many positively oriented people to outweigh the energy of millions of negatively oriented people, because negative energy is segregative. Positive energy is integrative. Thus, then, even 100,000 positively oriented people, in a sense, their energy will outweigh or outmatch the vibration of a million negatively oriented people, because the negatively oriented people are not cohesive by definition.
So how are we doing?
As I said, you are approaching the threshold of 2012, which simply represents the tipping of the scales into the critical mass of the positive side of energy. So
and we are doing well.
You are doing that, yes.
Yay.
It is unlikely that we would actually be having these kinds of communications with your civilization if you were not moving in that direction, because we do not interact with realities that do not move in that direction.
I'd like to ask another question about the grid system around the planet.
Yes.
And I'm very conscious of energy moving faster and faster, as many of us are.
Yes.
And I guess I would like to understand, for example, this is going to be many aspects of one, but the water, the pollution and the damage to the water, to the resources, to the global warming and all that. And as I think of the grid, I think, and the energy fields moving up, I feel like the self-generative qualities of the grid in a state of evolution can really transform a lot of the difficulties in
it
our...
It can, but you must also understand that your planet is actually going through a natural cycle of change itself. Human endeavors have accelerated it, but it's not an unnatural cycle of cleansing.
So we didn't just cause it all.
No, but you have accelerated it.
But it's better for our consciousness if we can understand our rapport with the Earth,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Because then you can go through the accelerated change in a positive and constructive way rather than a destructive one.
I had a flash when the movie first came out of the global warming. I had this amazing flash. I'm an intuitive as well.
Oh, right.
And it was as if some people had collected and put a great membrane around the world to stabilize the atmosphere.
This actually has been happening. Many of us are involved in assisting in the balancing of the energy of your planet, but we will only do it to a certain degree, because we must still allow you, being your world, to make your choices about what you really wish to have happen.
What is your commitment, meaning can we talk to you? Can we?
You are talking to me.
I just mean collectively, can we say, please come in and help us
you
resolve
do not
these
need
issues?
You do that because we're already doing it.
Oh, okay. And I was just concerned about the integrity, because I heard that you had a hands-off policy. Many of you are off the planet.
After your year of 2012, the hands-off policy will no longer be in effect.
Yay.
But it will still be up to you to determine when you are ready for more hands-on interaction. Mm. It will still not be something we will force on you.
Mm.
It's just that after your year of 2012, we will be more capable of having a hands-on policy, but we will still take our cue from all of you to let us know when you're truly ready.
Well, you know, Bashar, at 2012, will a lot of us be able to see the concurrent realities the way you do? I mean,
some, not a lot.
But there is...
That is still the infancy of the change. But by your year of 2030, a lot more will be able to. And I will tell you that any child born between 2012 and 2030 absolutely will be able to. Because they will be born into that energy, and they will not forget that they are multidimensional beings, no matter what the consensus reality might choose to tell them. Because the overwhelming positive energy at that point will reinforce the core of their being, and no matter what the telepathic energy is from anyone else on your planet, it will not subsume their core understanding of their multidimensionality and their true nature. So more
Wonderful.
Of the children being born will retain that ability, the ability that you all have in spirit, they will retain it as physical beings, so that physical reality will become more like the spirit realm.
Wonderful. And the speed up, can you speak a little bit about the speed up of vibrations on our planet right now?
Well,
I heard
again, that is just part and parcel of the idea of becoming more in the present, more whole. Because when you become more of yourself, you have more of your energy at hand. When you have more of your energy at hand, obviously what you're actually saying is you're operating on a higher level, a higher frequency.
So what's called the familial chain of pain, we're able to step out of it with more swiftness than before?
Absolutely.
Yes.
When you recognize that all these things do not in any way, shape, or form take away your ability to choose who you wish to be at any given moment, then you will be free from any so-called concept of pattern, habit, or chain. You will understand that the present does not result from the past.
Does it matter what we eat?
It can.
Okay.
Because again, this goes hand in hand with what belief systems you may have within your physical consciousness about what physically affects you. There are obviously individuals on your planet who are completely able to be unaffected by anything that they put into their body, including poison. But those are masters, and
mm-hmm.
most of you are not at that level.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, the simple answer is it would be wise to harmonize your belief system with the understanding of what is actually beneficial for your body consciousness.
It's a part of knowing oneself, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about healing for those of us on the planet?
All healing is done by the person that needs the healing. A healer simply sets up a vibrational bubble or atmosphere, shall we say. No matter what style of healing is involved, the healer gives off a frequency that is representative of the healed state. The person that needs to be healed, thus then when engaged with the healer, is invited to match the frequency the healer is giving off that represents the healed state.
Hmm.
If the person requiring the healing does choose to match the frequency of the healed state, then they will simply become healed. In that moment, they will have healed themselves with the assistance of the healer providing the vibration of the healed state. But no healer actually directly heals anyone.
Mm-hmm.
The person to be healed must agree to be healed.
Do you find that healing itself, the process that you just explained, is speeding up because of these vibrational shifts going on?
It is, let's say more precisely, capable of being sped up.
Mm.
But a person can still choose to not experience it that way.
So I'm jumping around a little bit.
That's all right. Perhaps that is also an indication of a sped-up frequency.
Hopefully, yes. What about other beings around the Earth? How is our rapport as human beings? Is it improving? Are we going to become part of the Universal Federation?
More and more of you are open to different kinds of communication from these different beings. Be they extraterrestrial or be they your own spirit guides?
What is the difference between those two? That's one of my questions.
Well, simply put, as you would understand it, an extraterrestrial being is a consciousness that in your understanding would originate in another world, in another civilization. Whereas spirit beings simply are those non-corporeal consciousnesses that reside in the spirit realm that is common to us all, regardless of our physical differences while in space-time reality.
Hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
It sure does.
So the idea is that, yes, again, the more you become more of who you are, the more sensitive you become to higher frequencies, including higher frequencies, whether in space-time realities or in non-physical reality, including the idea of the world of spirit. So more and more communication with spirits and beings of higher frequencies will be possible for many of your people as they become more sensitive antennas and are more capable of consciously receiving those communications that are always being sent.
Hmm.
It isn't an issue of more communication coming to you. It's an issue of all of you being more receptive to the communication that's already there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's constant.
Mm-hmm.
It never stops.
But the number of beings from different civilizations in the universe, that is on the increase, is it not?
Yes and no. Because again, you may perceive it as being on the increase, but that may be more due to the increased receptivity.
The tolerance.
In other words, you becoming more aware of the fact that there are a large amount of communications coming to you. And as you become more aware of those communications, it may seem like more beings are involved, but it's only because you're becoming more aware of more of the beings that have already been involved.
Well, I guess what I'm thinking is one time I saw a being who obviously had a vibrational covering.
Yes.
To look like a normal person or
yes.
look like a human person.
Yes.
But
this is called a screen memory.
Yes. Well, I've seen that several times, in fact, but one
yes.
that was really vital. And I wondered
yes.
if we're going to get to the point where that isn't necessary.
Yes, of course.
People can
but only
play
you can
and cavort.
Because the idea is that.
But is that becoming more conscious? Is that
it's
consciousness
becoming slightly more common, yes.
Okay.
But it will still take some time. Because the reason that that is done is to prevent psychic shock from occurring within a fragmented consciousness.
So how many beings do you think are here?
When you say here, what do you mean?
In the third dimension, in our existence in the third dimension.
Do you mean visiting your world?
Yeah, or even living here. I mean, have they been living
Most
here for...
Most of them are not living here at all.
Okay.
They come and go.
They come and go.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, there are thousands upon thousands, but they do not reside on your planet in a permanent way.
I suppose a lot of us would really love to have them over for tea and to visit and get to know people.
Eventually.
Yeah. It's not...
As we have said, as we read the energy of your collective reality now... This will become more and more possible after your year of 2033.
Okay.
But for the time being, there may be an increase sporadically in individual contacts. More awareness may occur of the fact that many of you have already actually had contact face-to-face, but have been made to forget so that it doesn't interfere with your own processes.
So can you talk more about that? I've heard a lot about abductions and so on.
That's a different issue. Because those beings that you call the Greys are not extraterrestrials.
Oh, they're not?
No. They are mutated humans from a parallel reality that have rendered themselves incapable of reproducing and required viable human DNA in order to create a hybrid species to continue their civilization.
Is that your heritage?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Since they no longer had viable human DNA in their parallel reality, in their parallel Earth, which they destroyed... They have, in that sense, shifted to your and other parallel realities where humans still exist and thus then have used your DNA to create various hybrid species to allow their civilization to continue.
Hmm.
We are one of those hybrid species. There are others. But they are mutated humans. They are not really extraterrestrials, even though their technology is such that they have colonies on other planets. But they are not part of the extraterrestrial groups that you would understand as those that make up the alliance that are helping balance the energy of your world, quote-unquote, from outside. They are something that has come from one side into your reality. They are a different way of interacting with you. They are not part of our alliance.
Who is a part of our alliance?
What you call the energy of the star system Sirius, what you call the energy of the star system Arcturus, what you call the energy of the star systems in the Pleiades systems, even some ancient Orion, and many others, who shall go nameless at the moment.
And that's just our solar heritage, is it?
It is connected to your solar heritage, and also there are others that are beyond it.
I want to ask you something funny. What do you eat?
At this point in our evolution, nothing.
Really?
There were a time when we did eat, when we ingested as you do, but then, bit by bit, we incorporated all the needs of our physical body into one single substance that we grew, a plant, that produced something similar to what you would call a lima bean that we ingested for all our needs, and then eventually, as we became less and less physical, we simply rely now on energy intake directly from the electromagnetic field of our world and no longer eat, no longer sleep.
What is your world like, Bashar?
It is, in many ways, similar to your own. You could survive there, although the oxygen content is a little higher and might take some getting used to. We do not have the same kind of axis tilt that your world does, thus it is almost always moderate temperature. There really are no seasons. The planet is mostly park-like. There is more water than your world, more oxygen-rich. Our star is yellow-green. The idea is that you will find that There are no real built-up cities or structures on our planet. There are a few structures for specific purposes. Our cities, at this point, are our ships, our spaceships. And the planet is left in what you would call a relatively park-like condition.
Oh my, so you live in your ships most of the time?
Not all the time.
What are they like?
They are different.
Mm-hmm.
There are scout ships. There are what you would call city ships or mother ships. The city ships are mostly cylindrical, many miles long as you count distance, and contain potentially hundreds of thousands of beings exploring, investigating, learning. You understand?
How long is your lifespan?
On average, what you would recognize is about 300 of your years.
Hmm.
Though some of us are longer lived.
So many of you would live on the ships most of that time?
No.
Hmm.
We also live on the planet when it suits us, but we also explore other worlds.
Wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yes. You think so?
You enjoy it.
Yes. We do not do anything we do not enjoy.
Wonderful.
And that is what is going on between us here, is this is our method, our preferred method of initiating contact with a new civilization.
Hmm. So you have...
This way, so that the information coming through the channels is something that your people can take or leave. They do not have to believe we are who we say we are. We do not want to force our ideas on anyone. The idea is that if you harmonize with them, if you find yourself in accord with these concepts, then you will vibrate more in accord with our reality, and that will make it possible for us to interact more solidly, as you say, one day. But this is how we initiate contact, to give you the option to decide whether contact should occur or not.
Hmm. Sounds wonderful. Can you give us any pointers about water, purifying the water on the planet? Our planet has a consistently toxifying water supply.
Guys, there are many individuals now on your world working on these ideas. Of course, the first thing that needs to be done is, because you live in a polluted environment, is to clarify your own bodies, detoxify your own bodies on a regular basis.
Can you recommend ways of doing that?
There are strong herbal formulations and detoxification programs that exist on your planet. Those are very effective in detoxifying and flushing the organs of toxins so that the body can absorb nutrients, which then can allow the body to heal itself of almost anything. Almost every single disease-oriented problem on your planet is due to the fact that your bodies are heavily, heavily toxic.
Mm.
If you will thus flush the organs with detoxifying herbal formulations, you will find then that your cellular structures will be capable of absorbing the nutrients in natural, organic foods that you then can put into your bodies.
Mm. And back to the water of the planet.
Yes.
You think that it's
well,
possible.
It can be done vibrationally.
Yes.
There are many different techniques that.
Well, there's
will
Emoto, Dr. Emoto. Remember, he's going around.
We understand who you are referring to, and that is one methodology.
Mm-hmm.
Other individuals will also invent various devices that are based on the concept of frequency, based on the concept of golden ratio proportions, vibrational chambers. That which, when water passes through them, will remove the toxins. Because if you create a chamber that is full of the vibration of pure water and pass toxic water through it, the toxins will not be able to pass all the way through the chamber. Only the pure water can, that is harmonized with the vibration in the chamber.
Mm.
That's one way.
It could work on the whole planet?
It can. But you will probably start bit by bit.
You see that it has been started.
Some individuals are already investigating this and other methodologies on your planet, yes.
You talk about bliss quite often, about living into your bliss and so on.
Yes, acting on your excitement, acting on your passion is of primary importance.
Well, here's something that kind of perplexes me.
All right.
We have a wonderful country, but we've got some pretty distorted power issues going on and controls and so on. And how
that
does
is
one
because of your belief systems. You must learn the difference between using the power of the illusion as opposed to falling under the illusion of power. When you change that perspective, you will change everything. When you understand that there is no lack, that everyone is abundant, that everyone can have access to anything that they desire, then there will be no fear, no hoarding, no acting out of the idea of controlling others. That is all that comes from, is fear of lack.
Do you feel that that is a possibility over the next 10 years or so?
Unlikely in 10, but seems very probable, as we said, over the next 30.
So if we work in a state of, if we move into being in bliss, and synchronicities and love,
acting
and expansion
on your highest passion is what keeps you aligned with your true natural self. What you call the sensation, excitement, bliss, passion, that is your body's translation of the frequency that actually represents your natural self.
Mm-hmm.
So when you act on it to the best of your ability any time that you can, moment to moment, you are staying centered in the present, and thus then have access to more information. And access to more information will allow you to access the information you need to change things in the way that you wish.
So as far as using those as tools for our next political election?
After all, you are your governments. There is no difference. Do not make a separation where none exists. That's the problem. You have separated yourselves out, and you have said, oh, they are doing this. They are doing that. You are they. Act like it. Open up dialogues of constructive peace. But understand, it's not about changing someone else. It's about changing yourself and operating on a level that you prefer and creating systems that are representative of what you prefer. Not changing the old systems, because the old systems are representative of an old paradigm, and you cannot change that. Your own Albert Einstein said, you cannot solve a problem from the level in which the problem was created. The idea is to create new ideas from a new level that will simply replace the old ways when they fall apart, because inevitably they will.
So working on ourselves is the ideal new politics.
Working on yourself and creating new ideas, new systems, and implementing them in society and inviting groups of like-minded individuals to use a new system will then allow the new system to gain a foothold that will then allow a place for it to exist in the new reality and then allow a door to open for the old system to fall away.
The new reality is moving through very fast right now, is it not?
That's up to you.
That's my experience
yes.
right now. And what about energy systems? You see that changing?
Of course.
Yes?
You also see that changing. You all do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be exploring new ideas of alternate energy. However, ultimately, what you will finally allow yourselves to remember and recall is something that you had a long time ago in your history, and that is simply tapping directly into the electromagnetic field of your planet for unlimited energy.
Mm-hmm.
You will learn to do that again. Some individuals on your planet have already learned to do that, but of course, those individuals who are operating out of fear and lack have suppressed that information. But more individuals are now remembering and recreating those ideas, and it will be available to your people again over the next few decades of time.
Interesting. Also, this is a funny question, I think. The mineral content on the planet, is that changing underneath the surface of the Earth?
Well, it is changing? Always changing in various ways.
Yes.
What specific kinds of change are you talking about? Are you
talking about
the idea of increased crystallization?
Yes, and I'm also thinking of more gold, more emerald, more minerals
somehow.
Yes.
But there is also more silicon in your own bodies to make you more receptive to higher frequencies.
Great.
So there's crystallization going on all levels.
Wonderful. I think I'm almost finished. Do you have a question?
I think you are just beginning.
I've so enjoyed this. It just makes me want to go and become. Become. I want
then
to become.
Then do so.
This is it. Yes. What? The CO2 content in the oceans.
Yes.
Can you speak about that a little?
There will be some radical shifts. It is, however, something that will begin to reverse itself after 2015. depending on what humans do in the meantime.
I go back to the grid system and so on. Is that...
That's one way. There are others.
But the grid system itself, this is for my own personal curiosity.
Yes.
As it changes, it can generate a healing. It can increase the rate of self-healing.
It can, but it won't do it on its own. You must do it in harmony with it. If you have accelerated the idea of being out of phase, you can accelerate the idea of going back into phase.
And that's with our consciousness, our minds.
And your actions.
All right.
Remember, actions speak louder than words. When you act as you believe, when you act on your excitement, it's all well and good to be spiritual in your hearts and in your minds. But if you don't ground it through your behavior and the things that you actually do, then it is not actually the completing of the circuit because you exist in physical reality. You must actually act out your excitement. Put it to actual work, actual use, actual creative expression. Do things that are representative of your joy. Not just think joy, not just feel joy, but act it so that you complete the circuit, ground the energy, and then physical reality will take its cue from the physical actions that you are imparting energy with into the earth sphere. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it sure does.
Thank you.
Now, the kinds of actions, the sort of things that I've been fascinated by is, for example, movies. Movies change people. Movies give people
allow themselves to be changed by movies, yes.
But if the movie itself contains a high, this is my big dream, if the movie itself contains higher frequency energy,
then those that will be gravitating toward it will open up to that frequency and allow themselves to shift to the reality vibration that the movie represents. All these things are just tools. All these things are just permission slips. Any ritual, any tool is just a permission slip that you give yourself to let it be all right to change in the way you want to. They don't do anything on their own. They are just permission slips that allow you to finally use your belief system to give yourself permission to change the way you want to.
What do you think about the internet that way?
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a permission slip to allow you to know you are interrelated, interconnected, that you have access to all the information that you need. It's a symbol. It's a reflection
mm-hmm.
of your consciousness state at this point.
Do you ever go into the internet?
We have our own.
Does it go all
Remember
over
that we are telepathically connected to all beings in our society. We can instantaneously access any information known to anyone in our society.
Oh, my, can you shut it off if you want to separate?
Why would we do that?
Protection.
There
safety.
Is no such thing as a need for protection in our reality.
Interesting.
However, if we simply wish to experience the idea of isolation from the group, yes, of course, we can choose that experience. But we know it's an experience that's chosen, and it doesn't in any way, shape, or form make us feel alone, because we know we chose it for that experience and can always reconnect if we wish to.
Well, I'm very empathic, and I use it in my work and so on.
Right.
It would concern me thinking if my brain was running like the internet
yes.
all the time. That
yes.
could be just a bit overwhelming, huh?
All right. Then you will regulate it according to what you can handle automatically. Why not have a belief system that assumes automatic regulation on whatever level you can take instead of assuming that you could be overwhelmed?
Exactly.
That's just a belief.
Yes, I see that.
So as you believe, so you will experience. So if you believe you can be overwhelmed, you will experience being overwhelmed.
Well, I think also for what you were talking about is that empathic rapport.
Yes.
Then you can move collectively, can you not?
Of course.
You can harmonize collectively.
Of course.
Can we get there?
You are there anytime you wish to be. Remember, again, the way you look at something is how you experience it. If you think you have to get there, then what you're saying is you're not there. If you know you are there, you will experience more and more examples of it. You follow me?
I do, actually.
Thank you. You see, it's actually quite simple. And we understand that because of the way humans have been taught for thousands of years, they have a belief system that relies on complexity in order to believe something has value. But in fact, things are not that complicated.
Hmm.
Things may be rich in that sense of complex, but they are not really complicated. The universe is fundamentally simple.
But you must have had to make that leap.
We did.
Yes.
However,
can you talk about
we
that?
Could say that we had a head start on you since we were created to be a hybrid race and embodied many of the qualities and principles that gave us, as you would say, a head start in our creation. We were not in that sense as subjected to the same amount of limitation you experience in the Earth frequency.
So that's part of us coming to this Earth, this planet, and going through the densities.
It's like an advanced school.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find the light from that degree of darkness, truly you have mastered something as a soul. And that's why it's so important as an experience.
Well, we're driving a hybrid car. Does that give us some metaphorical link to this?
It does.
Great.
Remember, your outer reality is always a reflection of the inner one.
Wonderful.
Not the other way around.
It's funny, when we got the cars, I felt somehow like we made it somewhere.
You have arrived at a deeper understanding of blending, fusion, hybridization, bringing things together that were formerly apparently opposing ideas and allowing them to coexist in a new paradigm is the reflection that's important there.
Which has a greater power in a different
Absolutely.
Sense. Yes.
And also not only a greater power, but one that is more harmoniously aligned with the kind of reality you prefer.
Mm.
One that is less damaging.
Wonderful. Can you talk a little bit about Africa and the nature of life there and what we can do?
That is a large subject.
It's
is there something
subject.
You would specifically like to address?
Well, it appears to me that there's kind of a dying process going on there.
That is happening in many different areas of your planet.
Yes. I wondered,
what do you want to do about that?
Well, I think dying is a natural thing.
It is.
At times, I feel like I want to help everything heal, but I'm not sure.
Whatever it is you are attracted to do, do.
All right.
Without feeling futile about it. The idea is that if you wind up in a certain place and are capable of helping someone, then you are making a difference. Others who choose to die out will choose to die out regardless of what you have to offer. You will only be attracted to those who are willing to be assisted by your desire to help anyway. You can't help anyone who doesn't attract help to themselves.
I understand that.
So, do whatever you are attracted to do, and that's what will make the difference. All right?
Wonderful. I also wondered what, there are a number of antennae for universal frequencies and so on.
Yes.
I heard that flowers are that. Is that
flowers,
right?
Trees, yes.
Yes.
Even our natural antennae of the planet. Yes.
And hair. Is that
of
right?
course.
All right. And I'd like to ask about the role of dolphins and whales.
They are like another alien species on your world.
Hmm.
Humans and dolphins and a few others are like the co-sentient species of your planet and give you an opportunity to practice interacting, to practice having contact with extraterrestrial beings. You have a golden opportunity, a sparkling opportunity to interact with what are very similar to extraterrestrial beings on your very own planet by interacting with the dolphins who are much, much more familiar with the idea of being telepathically connected to other levels of consciousness and also specifically are very connected to Sirius energy from the Sirius star system, which represents a higher vibration of oversoul for the trinary system of Sirius, our world, Ethithani, and Earth. So you are speaking with the dolphins and through them to your own higher vibrational selves.
Hmm.
So learn to communicate with them empathically, and you will learn to communicate with your own higher self.
And we can do that without necessarily being in the vicinity.
You can, but it helps if you're actually in contact with them.
Hmm.
Because the medium in which they exist, water, helps make you more buoyant, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And is more conductive to those kinds of frequencies and vibrations than your air, which is thin.
So they also are having an impact on the health and the vibrational reality of the ocean, are they?
Yes.
Mm.
But together, you will have, in that sense, an expression that would represent a greater impact. Although, as we have said, you all have already, just by the fact of your existence, all the impact you will ever have. All the things that you can ever do will not increase your level of impact. They will increase the level of revealing the impact you're already having just by the fact of your existence.
So it's an awakening.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Do you have anything to say about horses as well? I'm pretty interested in the new equine assisted therapy and so on, and horses are being treated with more respect than they have been in the past.
In many ancient and indigenous cultures, horse has represented the concept of the new way, or the greater being of service. They are equated in what you call indigenous Indian cultures, as being the greater dog, the dog being representative of service as well, or the new way, the new path, the new road. Thus, then, they can still hold some of that symbology.
Hmm.
They also represent a sense of freedom.
Mm-hmm. And power.
Yes, self-empowerment, freedom.
Many are saying that they hold wisdom, such as...
All beings hold wisdom.
Hmm.
You can communicate with any being in nature. They all know how to communicate.
What is the nature of the whale?
It is like the collective oversoul of many dolphins.
Oh, my.
It is very powerful in that sense. And to communicate with a whale puts you in touch with your own direct oversoul.
So if we go back into the idea or the belief or the reality that humans have gone through very deep, deep densities in
yes.
order to master?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And that these beings are...
here as guides and assistants.
Yes.
To put you in touch with the higher levels of your being.
So if we can resonate with them,
yes.
if we can get into a frequency harmony.
Yes.
Hmm. Wonderful.
You get the point.
How wonderful.
There will be but a few moments remaining for this transmission. Is there anything you wish to say in the moments remaining?
Just thank you so much. I'm so grateful that you're here on the planet.
Well, I am not on the planet in that way, but we thank you for the sentiment.
Bashar, do you have a family? Do you have family? Sorry.
Not directly as you would understand it, but all of my people are one family because we are telepathically connected.
I see.
But in the terms that you mean it, I have no brothers or sisters, although obviously I had parents. They have moved on. To another level altogether.
Well, I am so grateful for the time we spent. Thank you very much.
Our unconditional love to you all, and we thank you again for the co-creation of this transmission. We bid you a fond, exciting, loving, and active, and creative. Good day.
Well, that was fun, wasn't it? I really enjoyed that. Did you? Let's have some feedback. Send me an email, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. I love to hear from you what it is you'd like to hear about and so on. But Bashar's story is very interesting. It reminds me where we're all headed, which is the awakening to our multidimensional selves. He also reminded me just to be here now, to be in the now, really helps us to access all those levels of consciousness. Let's go for it, ladies and gentlemen. Next week we have someone who's actually very, very hard working on this dimension. His name is Tim Costello, and Tim has done a lot of work with people with AIDS since the early 80s when it all really hit. He's working hard here in Bellingham, but he set up a program, a totally volunteer program called Slum Doctors, and they go over and help with AIDS situations in Africa. Tim is absolutely lovable, very wonderful. He's got a heart that just doesn't quit. So tune in next Tuesday at 5 o'clock for our paradigm shifter, Tim Costello and the Slum Doctors. Again, I want to wish all of you a very, very happy, happy new year. It's supposed to be an extremely dynamic year, so let's all get on our surfboards, keep our visions very strong, fill our hearts with love, and let's go for it. Oh, also, I'll talk to you Thursday night, or I'll be there Thursday night as Jackie Salvitti talks with her ET guides and angels, and we talk more about the shadow. I don't know what Jackie's going to talk about because it's a new year, but I believe we're going to stay on the shadow because it's absolutely fathomless. So tune in Thursday night, BBS Radio at 8 p.m.